Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Pehei, and we will begin on Daf Pehei Amud Aleph at the second line, Barmi Neimer Rav Sheshes. As we had learned in our previous shiur, the Torah teaches us that one son may not curse him, Chas V'Shalom, he may not hit him, and our Gemara continues to discuss, asks Rav Sheshes, Ben ma shiyas a shliach l'aviv, may a son be a shliach a bezdin v'akoysay l'kaoloi, to hit or curse a father at the request of bezdin. There's a machloikis amongst the mefarshim, how to understand regarding what situation the Gemara's question is. Some explain that the Gemara's question is only in a situation where there is no one else who's capable of doing this. And the Gemara's question is, given that there's no one else qualified to do the hakah, somebody's chayiv malchus, and this son is the only one qualified to give them, to administer the malchus, what is the halacha? Daruch Lener, however, explains that the Gemara's question is not specifically in a situation where there is no one else who can do it, but that the Gemara's question is even in a place where there are others available, is a son allowed to be the one to do it or not? Furthermore, the Mefarshim discuss at great length, what is the situation that we're referring to that a son should be, that the Gemara is asking that a son, because it's Bezdin's, as a Shlicha Bezdin, should be allowed to curse a father? For as I explained, regarding hitting, we understand what the circumstance are. The circumstance is that he's the shliach bezdin to administer the malchus. But ask the Gemara, what is the situation that the Gemara is referring to when it speaks about klola? So some explain that it means that if bezdin decided that someone is chayiv chayrim. And the question is, could the son be the person that could administer the chayrim procedure against the father? Which would lead to a very interesting conclusion, in fact, points out the Chazon Ish. Because we normally know that the halacha is that one is not considered a mekalel, it's not considered a situation of cursing, unless you use the Shem Hashem. Now the Shem Hashem is not used when one is put into chayrim. And therefore, says the Chazon Ish, from here we see that the isser of cursing Rahman Shalom one's parent applies even without using the Shem Hashem. However, there are mefarshim that dispute this point, and they say, as we always find in halacha, klola is only when you use the Shem Hashem. And therefore, they have to come up with another way of understanding our Gemara, what is the case of klola. So some, Daruch Lener, says that what it means is that the Torah teaches us, says the Aruch Lener, that besides the Isra of klola, there's the Isra of makle aviv imoy. One is not allowed to disparage and cause embarrassment to one's parent. And what the Gemara here is meaning is that for the Isser of Makla Aviv Imai, you certainly don't have to have the Shem Hashem used. And that's the question the Gemara is addressing. If somebody is allowed to be the one to use Hashem to curse, if Bezdin asks him to put his father into Chayrim, it seems to be being over the Isser of Makla Aviv Imai. But may he do it because he's been so instructed by Bezdin. However, I did see another pshat that the Aruch Haner suggests. The Aruch Haner says that the Torah says that when the makis are given, we're going to learn this in Mitzvah Shem, in Masech the makis, that when the makis were given, the halacha was that they had to read psukim. And in reading those psukim, the Torah says, V'hifla Hashem es makoscha, some very serious psukim are read at that time. And the Gemara's question is a son allowed to be the person that reads the psukim as that is administered? Amalai, So Rav Shesh has replied, "Vachmi yitirei. Why is the halacha that anyone is allowed to do it? Because we, as we explained in the previous year, one is not allowed to hit somebody else, and one is not allowed to curse someone else. But why is it permitted? Because kvod shemayim adif. Because there's a question of kvod shemayim here, and when there's a question of kvod shemayim, it becomes mutter." Says the Gemara, Hachinami, in this situation also, a son against the father, even though normally it's certainly usur, here it's a situation of Kvod Shemayim, and because of its situation of Kvod Shemayim, that's why it may be mutter. Ask the Mefarshim. We just learned at the end of our previous year, where the Gemara discussed the issue about giving a parent medical treatment. And the Gemara differentiated between giving medical treatment to someone who's not a parent versus giving it to a parent. And the Gemara explained, because by a parent, there's always a possibility, Chas v'Shalom, that when you give the medical treatment, you may end up wounding him, and there's a shayla of an issaskila, which doesn't exist in a situation of a of another Jew where there is no question of skila. So therefore, ask the Mefarshim, why doesn't the Gemara take the same approach here? Yes, there is a concept of Kvod Shemayim, but the concept of Kvod Shemayim maybe only allows you to hit another Jew. But where the question is a question of hitting a parent, where there, it's much more of a serious Aveira, perhaps it should be also. So some Mefarshim answer that because the concept why one is allowed to give malchus or put into cheirim when Besdin so requires is not just the chuyah. It's not just that it's permitted. It's hutra. There is no question that it's completely not considered anything wrong. And because of that, the Gemara is saying that concept of hutra doesn't only apply to someone else. It also applies by a parent. That's one approach I saw from the Sefer Sanhedrin Ketanim. The Sefer Olaner says, if you think about it, when one hits another Jew, there's so many averis, there's so many issues on the line. There's a pasuk of Ben Yosef, there's a pasuk of a haftal reacha kamaicha, and yet the Torah says that when so required, one is allowed to hit another Jew to administer the malchus. So that's the case. By another Jew, so too will be the halacha regarding a parent. Ask the Gemara Meisvei. Ask the Gemara a question on this Brice. Ask the Gemara a question on this Pesach of Rav Sheshes from the following Brisa. The words of the Brisa are actually difficult words to understand. First we'll read the words, and the Gemara is going to try to explain the words of the Brisa, and by trying to explain the words of the Brisa, perhaps have an answer to our question. The purpose of this braisa is to teach us das hara, how we know there's a lav for one to hit a parent. And the braisa says, in a situation where one is allowed to hit someone else, he may not hit him. Again, we need to understand what the braisa says. Misha enem mitzuv la koisoi. So in a situation where you're not allowed to hit him, and it shem mitzuv shlo la koisoi, you're certainly not allowed to hit him. Of course, we need to understand what does the braisa mean. My love, doesn't the braisa come to teach us? Idivi mokem mitzvah. The braisa is referring to a situation where there is a mitzvah to give malchus. And the way to understand the braisa is habibnoi, when it's a situation of giving of a son. The Brice is, and Haba Acher. And the Brice is differentiating between a son who's giving Malchus versus a different person who's giving Malchus. And the way to understand the Brice is as follows. In a situation where it's not a son who has a right to give the Malchus, when Besdin so says, Mitzuvah the halacha still is, Shaloi lakoisoi, he may not give more malchus than the Torah allows. Ain't it Misha, ain't it mitzuvah lakoisoi? So in a situation where malchus may not be given, because it's a son, and and even though there's a mitzvah, you still may not give the malchus. And a din shemitzvah shloila kaisai, certainly you can't give extra malchus. So that's shot in the brisa. The brisa seems to be indicating that you're not allowed to give. That a son is never allowed to administer malchus to his parent, even when it's a question of a dvar mitzvah. So, which is a challenge to Rav Sheshes, who said that a son, as a shliach bezdin, may give malchus. Loi. Says Rav Sheshes, loi. That's not the way to understand the brisa. Rather, the way to understand the brisa is loi shna b'vnoi v'loi shna achar. It makes no difference if it's a son, or makes no difference if it's somebody else. If it's at Bezdin's instruction, they may give the malchus. How do we understand the brisa? V'loi kasha. Can be makom mitzvah. Be makom mitzvah, you're allowed to give malchus. Can shlei be makom mitzvah, when it's not at Bezdin's instructions, when it's not a mitzvah, you're not allowed to give the malchus. V'loi tani. This is the way to understand the brisa. V'ma be makom mitzvah. When there's a mitzvah to give malchus, shemitzvah lakosu, that there is a mitzvah to give malchus, we're best and so instructed. And again, we're not differentiating between a son and someone else. Still, the shliach bezdin mitzvah shloi lakosoy may not give more malchus than bezdin so instructed. Shloi b'makom mitzvah shein mitzvah lakosoy. So in a place where there is no mitzvah to give malchus, where the malchus are not being administered because of the instruction of Bezdin, and in Bedin, you certainly not to give any malchus. But the Brice doesn't address the issue if the son may be the Shliach Bezdin or may not be the Shliach Bezdin. So the Gemara attempts another Brice. From this Brice, we have an answer to our question. Toshma, a Yotzla Karak. If someone is being taken out to be executed, and his son comes and hits him or curses him, chayif, he's chayif for doing so. However, but if somebody else, not his son, hits or curses, he's potter. And when we try to analyze the brisa, we need to understand ma'ishna benar or ma'ishna achar. What's the difference between a son and someone else? So Rav Chisda, explaining the brisa, explained the brisa is referring to a situation where the person who's supposed to be executed is being told to go to the execution, and he refuses to go. And the brisa is saying that if a son under those circumstances forces his father to go to the execution, he's chayiv, even though he's doing what Bezdin so required. If it's, however, the father, if it's somebody else, given that he's following Bezdin's instructions, it's fine. So we see that even though he's doing it at the son is doing this at the instruction of Bezdin, it's still usher. So how will Rav Sheshes defend his opinion? Says the Gemara, Rav Sheshes will explain, Mukilabish emitzavim ba lotzeis. It's not referring to the person is refusing to go. It's referring to a situation where the person is prepared to go. Ask the Gemara, if that's what the Braisa is saying, so why did the Braisa say that if somebody else is the one that gave him the malchus, he's potter? Why is he potter? He has, as we have been learning, we have no right to give malchus when Bezdin doesn't allow that to be done. So why does the Braisa say that by somebody else there won't be he's potter? Answers the Gemara, Acher Gavik Tilahu. If it's not the reason why, if it's not a son, there is no chiyuv, because this person, the halacha views him as a person who is not really a living person, because he's been sentenced to execution. And since he's been sentenced to execution, he doesn't have the status of a regular person. Ask the Gemara, is that true? V'amar Rav Sheshes, the Gemara Masechta Bamba Kama discusses, Baishi Yoshin V'meis, if somebody was sleeping, and while he was sleeping, he was embarrassed. And before he woke up and recognized that he was embarrassed, and we know that the chiyuv of paying for embarrassing somebody, a chiyuv boishes, that loch is that he's chayiv. So And the way Mepharshim explain that if we're saying that somebody who's being taken to the death, the halacha already views him as a dead person, so this person also who was sleeping when he was embarrassed and never woke up should be considered like a dead person. And yet the Gemara and Masechet Baba Kama says that we're chayiv to pay for his boishes and we don't consider him like a dead person. That's one way the Mepharshim explained the Gemara. Another way of explaining the Gemara is that from there we see that the fact that somebody is going to death is not a factor in halacha. The fact that he's not here himself to make the claim for money that he believes owed to him is not a factor, the raya being that this person himself, even though he never will be around to collect the boishes payment, the fact that his children and family could collect it is enough of an issue. So here too, the fact that this person is being taken to the execution should not be a factor. Answers the Gemara, Hachamai Skinen. So the Gemara gives a different explanation. Hachamai Skinen, this price is referring to a situation, Kishiko HaKosh Em B'Shavapruta, that the value of what he of damage that he did to him is not Shavapruta. And in fact, I saw that the Binyan Shloima says that when that by definition, whenever someone hits somebody who is being taken to the execution, it has to be that it's not worth a Shavapruta, because how much could this be worth? The person's already on the way to the execution. Ask the Gemara, Vamar of Abi Amar of Yochanan, he called Akosha and a Shavapruta like a. And just to understand this Gemara, we have to say a few words of introduction. We know that if someone damages someone else, he has to pay Nezek Tzar Ripu Shevas Uboishas. And because he has to pay Nezek Tzar Ripu Shevas Uboishas, the Torah also says, Kedei Rishasai, Mishum Risha Achas Atamachaivai, Vyatamachaivai Mishum Shtei Rishayos, that a person doesn't get two punishments for one Aveira. And therefore, under normal circumstances, when somebody hits someone else, he only pays the damages, and he doesn't pay anything more. However, Chazal said, and that's why, he doesn't get Malkus. But, in a case where it's not going to be worth a pruta, and therefore there is no financial payment, there the halacha is that you pay, that halach is that you get the malchus. So the Gemara's question is, fine, we have explained that this brisa is speaking about a case where it's a kosh and a shavapruta. As I explained, it's by definition a hakosh and a shavapruta. So even though it's a hakosh and a shavapruta, there should still be a payment for, there should still be a chiv malchus for hitting another Jew. Why does the brisa say that if he hit him, he's potter even for Malkus? Answers the Gemara, when the Braisa says potter, it didn't mean that he's entirely potter. My potter the comer, it meant potter mimum. Asked the Gemara, the Braisa is contrasting what is the halacha by a son versus someone who's not a son. Mechlal, the benoi chai b'mum. If we're saying that someone else is potter, and we're explaining that potter means potter from Malkus, but Chai, Potter from Mammon, but Chayiv Malkus, it means that the son is Chayiv even, it means that the son is even Chayiv Mammon. But is that true? A son is not Chayiv Mammon if he hits his father. A son is Chayiv Misa if he hits his father. Ella, how must we understand the Braisa? Bedinoi. What the Braisa is meaning to say, that the son is chayiv, he's chayiv misa for hitting his father. Hachinami. So when we speak about the other people, it means potter bedinoi, that he's completely potter. So again, if the Braisa is referring to a situation where the hakor did not equal a pruta, then why is he potter? He shouldn't be potter entirely. He should be potter mimamin, but he should be chayiv malchus. So the Gemara says, El Acher. The Gemara tries again to understand the Braisa, and that the Braisa should be able to coexist with the opinion of Rav Sheshes. What is Pshat here? El Acher, Hainatam de Potter. What is the reason that someone else, if he strikes him, he's Potter? Domakra, because the Torah says, V'nasi ba'amcha loy sohar. To teach us, only ba'oysa masa amcha. Only when the person acts appropriately is there iser to curse him. And here, since he's not acting appropriately, he obviously is a person that's being taken out to be killed, so he's a balavera, that's why he's allowed to be cursed. In fact, I saw a beautiful word from the Cheshev Sofer that the Pasuk says regarding Yetzias Mitzrayim, V'tzeisi et tzivoisi es ami b'nei Yisrael me'ayot Mitzrayim v'shvatim gedoilim. Ask the Cheshev Sofer that what does the Torah have to add the words es ami b'nei Yisrael? So he explains. He says that we know, Rashi says it in Chumash, that when Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, the Rishoyim amongst Klal Yisrael died during Makas Choshech. And it was only the other people who were worthy of leaving Mitzrayim. So that's Peshat in Pasuk. For Tzeisi is Ami. Al Gemara now defined Ami as strictly those people who act B'Oysa Ma'isa Amcha. For Tzeisi is Ami. Only those people who acted like Ami, like they're supposed to be, like they're supposed to act, those were the people that were taken out from Eretz Mitzrayim, no one else. Another point, vart, beautiful vart, that I saw from the Breska Rav. He says, this pasuk that teaches us this halacha, the wording of the pasuk is Elohim loisakalel, v'nasi ba'amcha loisar. Elohim loisakalel teaches us that one may not curse a dayan, v'nasi ba'amcha loisar, and one may not curse a nasi. So he asks, and now we're learning, our Gemara is teaching us, that din only applies, but I say, Masa Amcha, if somebody acts as he's supposed to. Asks the Breska Rav, why did the Torah choose to teach us this din, only the din of Oysa Masa Amcha, only regarding the Nasi and not regarding the Dayan? The Torah should have made the same distinction, and if anything, that's first in the pasuk, that only Elohim ba'amcha, only ba'oysa masa amcha, such a judge may not be cursed, anyone else not. Says the Breska Rav, a beautiful vart. He says, typically, a dayan, who is appointed as a dayan? Only someone who's worthy of being a dayan. He has to be able to learn, he has to be a Talmud Chacham, and he has to be able to pass in the Shailam. A Nasi is not always appointed specifically because he's qualified to be a Nasi. Sometimes someone's appointed to be a Nasi. Sometimes somebody's appointed to be a Nasi because his father was a Nasi, even though he's not qualified. So now we can understand the Pasuk, he says, very well. The Pasuk is teaching us as follows. Elohim, a dayan loisakalo. Anyone who's a dayan is by definition an individual who is worthy of being a dayan. He's a good person, and such a person may not be cursed. The nasi, but as we explained by a nasi, there are two types of nasiim. There are nasiim who are tamidei chachamim, who are worthy. Those nasiim may not be cursed. Those are the nasiim ba'amcha. But then there are Nasiim who only got appointed because of whatever reason, not that they're necessarily worthy of that appointment. Such a person, you're allowed to curse, only ba'amcha, ba'oysa masa amcha. However, I saw a very interesting vart from the Sefer Chosin Yosef that says, when does the Torah now is saying that's only ba'oysa masa amcha that you're not allowed to curse? That's only if the person is an Adam Kosher. So if the person who's cursing is a fine person, he's not allowed to curse. If the person he's cursing is Aina Aisa Mas Amcha, he doesn't act appropriately, he's allowed to curse him. But if the person who's issuing the curse, he himself is not a good person, then he doesn't have a heter of Aina Aisa Mas Amcha. Furthermore, The Chofetz Chaim says that we know that one is never supposed to curse anyone else, even if the person seems to be acting inappropriately, and he brings a Gevaldig Raya. The Shvatim came and reported to Yaakov Avinu that this person in Mitzrayim was acting terribly to them. So it seems that he clearly was a person that was Ein Oisem Maas Amcha. Yet Yaakov Avinu did not curse him, which was a tremendous ness, because Yaakov Avinu otherwise would have ended up cursing his own son, Yosef. So we see that a person should try to avoid cursing someone else under all circumstances possible. So ask the Gemara, so we're explaining that the Braita says, referring to an individual who's Ein Oisem Maase Amcha. Says the Gemara, that, and there, such an individual may be cursed. Ask the Gemara, Hotena Klola, that's a good explanation regarding cursing. Hakol Menolan, but we're also speaking about hitting. And where do we see that hitting, there's a heter, if it's Ein Oisem Maase Amcha? Answers the Gemara, the Makshina Hakol Klola. We compare the Halacha of Hakol to Klola. And if you're allowed to curse a person who's Ein Oisem Maase Amcha, you're also allowed to hit him. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, Yehocha B'noi Nami, so too should be the Halacha by his son. So why does the Braisa say it? If the son did it, he's Chayiv. Answers the Gemara, Kod Amar Pinchas, as Pinchas explained, this Braisa is talking about B'Shas Tshuva. Pinchas is referring to a situation where Ganovim stole something, and the question is, let's say they stole something, should we not be concerned that the item became Tomei? And the Gemara says it's referring to a situation that the Ganovim did Tshuva, and we believe them that they didn't touch it, or they didn't make it to Tomei. Says the Gemara, Hachnami, the Braisa is talking about a case, B'Shas Tshuva. And as the Noi de Behuda points out, that even though it was Asa Tshuva, so therefore he may not be cursed or hit, that doesn't absolve him from the execution that he was sentenced to. Ask the Gemara, if it's this Braisa is referring to somebody who did Tshuva, so Achanami, so even if it's not a son, he should have no right to hit him or kill or curse him. So we're back to trying to understand the Braisa. Answers the Gemara, Omra Mary Ba'amcha. The Pasuk says that when are you not allowed to hit or curse somebody? Only by someone who's Mekuyin Shem Amcha, someone who will continue to exist. But this person who's being taken to execution is not an individual who's Mekuyin Shem Amcha, and there is no issa to hit him or curse him. And as the Mefarshim explains, as the Aruch Lener explains, we're actually learning from this pasuk two halachas. We're learning that it has to be somebody who's Oisem Maase Amcha, and we're also learning at the same time it has to be Mekuyim Shem Amcha. And the question obviously is, how can we learn two different halachas from the same pasuk? Says the Aruch Lener that these two halachas actually complement each other. Who are you not allowed to curse? Somebody who's a Oisem Maase Amcha, somebody who acts appropriately. Similarly, if he's a person who's not Mekuyim Shem Amcha, he's being taken out to be killed, so he is included, teaches us the Torah, in the category of Ein Oisem Maase Amcha. And as we explained, even though he did Tshuva, but if he's an individual who's being taken out to execution, you can't call, says the Gemara, such a person an Oisem Maase Amcha, and therefore he may be cursed or hit. Ask the Gemara, if so is the din, so B'nai Nami, Yochi B'nai Nami, the son should be allowed to hit or curse a father who's being taken to be killed because he's not a Mekuyim Shem Amcha. Answers the Gemara, we cannot compare the din of a father to the din of someone else. Where do we see that they're not the same? As we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, Midah HaVelacha Misa, that the halacha is that if somebody curses someone else after he's dead, there is no Issa Klola. But there is an Issa Klola for cursing of parent after they're no longer here. So we see that the halacha of a parent is different than the halacha of everyone else. That's why this father that's being taken to execution, the person who's being taken to execution, if it's someone else who's cursing him, he isn't Oyve de Avera. But if it's a son, he is Oyve de Avera. So ask the Gemara, going back to the question we began the shiur with, my Havala, what is the din regarding a son being the Shliach Bezdin to hit or curse a father? Amar Afuna, Amar Rava Bar Afuna, V'chein Tana Deber Bishmo, L'kol, En Abed Nasa Shliach, Lovav L'Kais L'Klaloi, a son may never be the Shliach to hit or curse a father, Chutz Mimesis, except in the situation where the father tried to convince a son to the father was an individual who was trying to influence people to worship Avodah Zarah. For there, the Torah says, Shreem Torah regarding the Mesis, L'Sachmol, the Torah is specifically strict regarding a mesis, up to the point that there is a machlokes harishonim. Does this din of leisachma leisachasolov by a mesis even apply if the mesis did tshuva? The Rambam says that it doesn't make a difference. Taisa says that it does if he did tshuva. Furthermore, even though the halacha is that a son should not be the one who gives malchus, as to be the shliach to give the malchus, certainly say the mefarshim that if the son did administer the malchus, we won't give this individual another set of malchus, because we'll say that the son wasn't supposed to be the one to give the malchus. Tosfos, however, points out that the halacha of that a son is not allowed to be the shliach bezdin to give malchus or curse at bezdin's instructions is only in a case where the father did tshuva. In a case where the father did not do tshuva, says Tosfos, there the son may be the shliach bezdin to give the malchus. That's Tosfos's opinion. However, there are Rishonim that dispute Tosfos' explanation of the Gemara, and they say that a son can never be the shliach, even in a case, the son can never be the shliach, even in the case where the father did not do tshuva. And I saw that the Mefarshim debate how to understand that opinion of the Rishonim. Some Mefarshim I saw explain that the reason that a son cannot be the shliach is a very simple pshat. A son can never be a shliach against the father under any circumstances. That's one approach that I saw in the Rishonim. Another approach, however, I saw in the Rishonim is that we're concerned that the son, that the father perhaps did tshuva, and as Tosfos just explained, that if the father did tshuva, the halach is, then the son can't be the shliach, and since we can never be certain if the father did or didn't do tshuva, that's why the halach is that the son can't be the shliach to give him malchus or curse him. Furthermore, the Paiskim I saw discussed many interesting shailas around this subject. There's an interesting tshuva from the Eretz Tzvi, from the Kozel Gavarov, regarding a question as follows. There was a father who did not have a bris milah. And the question that came up was, can the son be the one to give him the bris milah, to make him the bris milah? And he wants to say, based on what our Gemara just said, that how strict we are regarding the son's actions towards the father, that the son can't be the one to make a bris milah for the father. And he also suggests further, since we know that a son making a bris milah for a father, by definition, will be a situation of a milah shaloi bezmanai. The son has to, it won't be a milah of the father when he's 8 days old. And we know that throughout halacha, we treat differently a milah shaloi bezmanai. And therefore he says, certainly a son should not be the one to make a bris milah for his father. However, he then suggests that perhaps would not be the din if the father is anxious, very anxious to have a bris milah. He became about tshuva, and he's very anxious to immediately have a bris milah, and there's no one else besides the son who can make the bris milah. He suggests that maybe the halacha would be that the son can be the moel for the bris milah. Furthermore, there's a very interesting Rambam, which the Ravid already challenges. The Rambam says, the Rambam speaks about a very unfortunate situation. The case that the Rambam says, we'll read the words of the Rambam. Mi, it's in Hilchas Mamrim, Perek Vav Halacha Yod. Mi shnitra fadata shal aviv o shal imay. Somebody's father, mother, Nebuch became insane. The child should try to treat them as best as possible until they get well. However, says the Rambam, it becomes impossible to work with them. They're completely insane. He should leave them and let somebody else take care of them. Says the Ravid, Omer Avraham, Omer Avraham, Ein Zu Hara Nechayna. This is not a correct psak. Im Hu Yelich V'Yiniach Loi, says the Ravid, if the son will leave his parent, L'mi Yitzava L'Yishmerim, who will take care of them? So everybody tries to understand, indeed, Pshat in the Rambam, how could a son leave his parents who are in such a situation? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Pshat, perhaps, in the Rambam, is based on our Gemara. We see in our Gemara how far Chazal said that a son cannot be involved in any way in mistreating a parent. Therefore, here we're dealing with a situation where the parents are very ill, and sometimes they need very serious care involving physical restraint. And our Gemara is saying that a son, even though it's a mitzvah, should never be involved in such a situation. That's why the Rambam says this son has no choice but to leave the parent, otherwise he may come to treat them inappropriately. However, I did see that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if somebody's father, and if there's a father and a son who are business partners, and they come into a dispute, the son may take the father to a din Torah. However, the Taz says, and some say that this should be done under all circumstances, that if possible, instead of the father and the son litigating directly against the father, which of course, again, is a terrible lack of kibud av aim, what perhaps should be done is that the son should appoint somebody else to be the individual to litigate against the father. Particularly, says the Taz, in a situation where Beis Din may demand a shvua of the father, it's highly inappropriate that the son should be the one demanding that his father swear, and he should try to get someone else should be the one to make the claim to be mechayev a shvua. But then I saw two very interesting piskei halacha from Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein around these gemaras. One, he says, is a very interesting question. He says there was somebody on trial, and as part of his defense, his lawyers wanted to suggest, that he had a very difficult childhood. His parents didn't bring him up in a proper manner. Perhaps they somewhat abused him, and therefore he wants to use that as a defense why he should be treated leniently. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein that by saying something like that, it's a terrible embarrassment to the parents. And as we'll be learning in our Gemara, how we have to go out of a way, a son should never embarrass a parent, and such a defense should be avoided. On the other hand, I saw a different tshuva from Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, where he discusses with somebody's father is a very reckless driver, and he's a danger to himself and a danger to society by allowing him to drive in such a way. Says Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, he quotes his father-in-law Rabbi Yoshev, who says that a son under those circumstances may turn in or report his father to the authorities that they should revoke his license or whatever, because he's a danger to himself and to society. Says the Mishnah, Hamaka Ovev Imai, if somebody Chas V'Shalom hits his father or his mother, Ein Chayiv Ad Shiyasmen Chabura, it's not considered that he did the Aveira until he actually causes them a wound. Says the Mishnah, Zu Chaymer B'Makal B'Maka, in this way cursing is more than hitting. Shemakal Lachem Isa, if somebody curses his parents, as we said a moment ago, after they're no longer here, he's Chayiv. However, V'Makal Lachem Isa, somebody who hits his parent after the not here is potter. Tan Rabbanan. The pasuk says, "Oviv v'imoy kilel," to teach us la'achemisa, that even la'achemisa he's chayiv for cursing a parent. Shiyachol. We can make the following argument: Choyl v'chayiv b'maka v'chayiv b'makalel. One may not hit his parent, and one may not curse his parent. Ma mak ein chayev ela mechayev. Hitting is only while he's still alive. Afa makalol, I would say, is ein elach mechayev. Void, and we can make a further argument because we could say the following kal v'chomer. Ma mak, according to this brisa, even though this is not agreed upon by everybody. She'os by shloiv amcha k'amcha. That as we learned previously, when it comes to cursing, the Torah says only oisa masa amcha, only if the father acts appropriately is there an issa to curse him. But when it comes to hitting, one may not strike a parent under any circumstance, even if the parent doesn't act appropriately. Now, certainly, there's no chi of hitting a parent after he passes away. As we explained, cursing is only usur if the father acts as he's supposed to. So we should suggest perhaps that there is no chi for cursing after the father passes away. The pasuk adds the words over v'imay kilel to teach us lachamisa, that even after the father passes away, the halacha is that even after the father passes away, there is, or mother passes away, there's issa to curse them. Ask the Gemara, Hanich l'Rabbi Yonasan, this explanation will be fine according to Rabbi Yonasan, the mayat lekra of v'imay, that according to him, the words of v'imay in the pasuk are superfluous, and we can use these words to teach us this halacha. El Rabbi Yishia, Ma'ikla Meimer, Rabbi Yishia needs these words for a different limud. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, the pasuk says, ish ish ki kalal aviv, the rabbis to teach us bas, that a daughter or a tumtum and a dragoness are also chayiv misa if they curse the parents. Asher kalos aviv imoy, says Rabbi Yosha, only ela aviv imoy, I would think that one is chayiv misa only if he cursed both of his parents. Aviv shlei imoy, but if he cursed only his father without cursing his mother, or ima shlei aviv cursed his mother without cursing his father, minayin that this din applies. Tamaloimer, the Torah uses the word aviv. The Torah uses the words kilel at the beginning of the pasuk, next to the word aviv. The Torah says the words imoy at the word kilel at the end of the pasuk, next to the word imoy, to teach us aviv kilel. Imei kilel, to teach us for the father alone or the mother alone. Dear Rabbi Yishia, Rabbi Yonasan said, "Mash mishneim ka'echad." We can explain that the pasuk means that you only chayiv misa if you curse both parents. Or mashma echav echav b'fnei atzmai, or it can mean one parent alone also brings that chiyuv. Actually, kav l'chos of yachdov. So he says, unless the Torah says the words yachdov, we always assume that it means only one. Ask the Gemara, Menale, from according to Rabbi Yishia, how will he know? He says, according to Rabbi Yishia, the pursuit of Aviv Imei Kilel is not extra, so where will he know that Yechayiv cursing a dead parent? Nafkale, Mikal Aviv Imei Mois Yumas. Vidach, the other man, the Amma, what will he learn? What will Rabbi Yonasan learn from that pasuk? Whom he boy le rabbis bas tumtum and androgynous. Ask the Gemara, why does he need that pasuk to teach us that the same din applies by a daughter and by a tumtum and androgynous? Why doesn't he learn it from the words ish ish? So it says ish ish, according to him, doesn't come to teach us anything, because dibra tyra kaloshim b'nei odom. The tyra just uses the word ish ish very commonly, even though it's not come to teach us any specific halacha. Ask the Gemara, for listening, why didn't our Mishnah also say chayim b'makom mekalel, that there's another chumrah or by somebody hitting a parent versus cursing a parent? Shamaka, if somebody hits a parent, it makes no difference. Osboy shloy ba'amcha k'ba'amcha, it makes no difference if the father, the parent, acts appropriately or not. Mashenker mekalel, by cursing, was saying only if the parent acts appropriately is there an issa to curse him. Answers the Gemara, our Mishnah is of the opinion, Ksava Makshina Kola Klola. And just like the halacha is that one is not chai for cursing a parent if he's an Eina Oisa Masa Amcha, as we discussed earlier, so too will be the din for Hakah. However, points out the Ran that even though there won't be a chiyuv misa for hitting a parent under those circumstances, so then there will be a chiyuv of paying nezek tzar ripui shevus ubayshus. Says the Gemara, this question, if hakah is treated like klala or not, regarding the question of oisim masa amcha, wants the Gemara to suggest, is perhaps the subject of a machloikis tanon. Lema hani tanoi, kani tanoi. The tanichad kuti, atmetzuvah al kaisa. There's an issa to hit a kuti, v'atmetzuvah al klalosai. But there is no issa to curse him. V'tan yidach, yet there's another braisa, atmetzuvah loya klalosai v'loya kasai. You're not allowed to, there's no issa neither to curse him nor to hit him. Sivruah, so they assumed the kula alma that all the tanom of these brises are of the opinion the kuti geri emesain, that the kutim we know only became gerim because there was an attack of animals, and the question is their gerus considered a valid gerus or not? So Gemara is suggesting that everybody agrees that they are considered valid gerim, they're considered full fledged Jews. My love, Balkamovki. What is the machloikas abraisas? The braisa that says that your potter both by hakol and klolo is of the opinion, the second braisa is of the opinion machina kolo klolo. And even though the kutim are considered Jews, there certainly ain't a oisa masa amcha, and therefore there's no issa to curse them, and there's just no issa to curse them. There is also no issa to hit them. Whereas the first braisa is of the opinion, why makshina kol klala? And therefore, even though there is no issa to curse them because they are eina oisa masa amcha, there is an issa to hit them because that din doesn't apply regarding hitting. Loi. So that's not necessarily the way to understand the machloikas between the braisas. Everybody could be of the opinion that loi makshina kol klala. And therefore, regarding klala, there's a din of oisa masa amcha, but akad there is no such a halacha. Rather, what is the machloikis between these braises? Masover, the first braise is of the opinion that they're geri emes, and since they're geri emes, one may never hit them, even if they ain't oisa masa amcha. Or masover, the second braise holds kutum geri roi, saying they're not Jews, and if, therefore, there's no issa klala, there's no issa hakah. But if they were Jews, even though they ain't oisa masa amcha, there would be an issa hakol. Ask the Mara, how can we say that that's pshat in the second braisa? That the second braisa considers them geri rais. The second braisa doesn't consider them Jewish. Let's try to understand the wording of the second braisa. Ihachanet d'ktani law. The second braisa continues to teach us v'shoyre k'yisrael. We know that we learned this from Sechta Bava Kama, that if the Shar of a Jew does damage to the other Shar, makes a difference, Tam and Muad, but we learned from Sechta Bava Kama that all of these halachas do not apply, by Akum. They only apply by Jews. So if we're saying that this price is of the opinion that they're Geirei Arayus, what does the Braisa say that Shari Kisrael El Shmamina? We have to go back to our original explanation, the Bekesha Pligi. The machlokes between the Braises is, do we compare them? The machlokes between the Braises is, do we compare Hakor to Klala, or do we not compare Hakor to Klala? The first Braises says we don't, and therefore by Klala there's a din of Oisamasa Amcha, not by Hakor. And the second braisa says that both by klala and akor, it's only also by somebody who's oisa masa amcha, not by somebody who's ain oisa masa amcha. Shema mino, that the way to understand the braisa reflects this machloikis, do we have this hekish or not?